First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour and WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, November 20th, 2022. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hey, I'm the Wombat.
Our guests today are the John Richards from Over the Sea in London Way, or south of London.
How the devil are you?
Doing well. Devil is too, I guess. Dread Pirate Higgs from Western Canada. Welcome. It's early there.
How are you there?
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also be talking about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. Here in Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us, the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK. We'll tell you more about them after the mid-show break, so be sure to stick around. Wombat, what's our topic today?
I was born an atheist, and so were you too. But that's going to be a hot topic for a lot of people. It's going to probably involve a lot of semantics and clarification of what we mean by terms. But I think in the most commonsensical sense, it's the most obvious thing in the world. And we'll get into it. But before we do, how about we throw it up to our own Dread Pirate Higgs for a weekly invocation?
Arr! Our noodly lord, who art in a colander, El Dante, be thy noodles. Thy blood be rum, thy sauce be yum, with meat as it is with vegetables. Give us this day our garlic bread, and forgive us our cussing, as we forgive those who cuss against us. And lead us not into ketoism, but deliver us some carbs. For thine are the meatballs, and the sauces, and the grog, whenever and ever.
Ramen.
I love how it's just some carbs, because you do need some carbs. It's always good. I went to a birthday party yesterday, and had some fun eating some carbs. They did give me a box of pizza afterwards, and I'll work that off later on this week. But it's good to have a little bit of treats now and then. Your brain loves it. Your brain's like, oh, carbs, let's go. And then 4 hours later, it's like, what'd you do this to us? Why'd you do this to us? Yep. Larry, Doubter 5, how you been since last week? It's good to see you again.
Oh, doing pretty well. We had our Thanksgiving yesterday. It was great. Doing it a little early because our kid is flying the coop next week for parts unknown. And we wanted to have it with her and her boyfriend before they left.
Yeah, parts unknown? What are they doing? Are they like motorcycle riding into the sunset?
No,
like,
she's going to visit him at his location. Which is in like Europe. So,
oh shoot, okay. Yeah.
So, we wanted to get together and have it before they left. So it was all good.
Well,
it's been very cold, so I have not been riding. Still playing games, though, of course.
Okay, it's been very cold here too. I'm still playing disc golf. I don't care about the time change. I want to get outside. I love being outside with friends. But yes, it's not a fun time. It's not as fun. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend it unless if you have like a really, really high tolerance for pain and being chilly. Dread Pirate, listen, I know it's bright and sunny in Canada right now. It's just nothing but like tropical winds and weathers. Do you still have time to go outside at all?
Well, it's minus 14 out here, so it's a wee chilly. And that's Celsius, of course, not the Fahrenheit minus 14. So, but it's pretty cold, and we've got snow on the ground, and it's not quite light. Of course, it's 7:06 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here. So,
jeez,
I don't even have my breakfast in me yet.
Oh man, wow. Man,
Yeah.
You can't be Canadian unless you have like a big hairy chest full of hair, right? Just like 14 degrees negative Celsius. And, we got this.
And the lumberjack axe in your right hand, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, my blue ox in the back.
Right.
Yeah.
We say sorry because we're that manly. We're that common. That's why. All right. Yeah,
I'm going to be the next victim for stereotyping, am I?
All right, go for it. I don't know. I'll save you it and just ask you, generally, how are you? How are things?
Well, everything's fine here. We don't have snow. I can't remember when I last saw snow, but I photographed it because it was on the, we've got a chalet in the garden, you know, one of these wooden structures. And there was about that much snow on the roof and it was gone by 11 o'clock. So I can't remember when it was, but that's the last evidence we've got of any snow here. So don't believe all the lies put out by Hollywood about the weather in the UK.
Not bad. You know, I do have a backdoor balcony and it wasn't snowing, but there's frost on the ground right now. And my cat has the ability to open up doors and handles as he wants to. And I forgot to lock the deadbolt. So at night he comes up, he hangs on the door, he opens up the door to the back balcony, hangs out there for a little bit, says it's cold, comes back in. And this morning he's like cuddled up next to me. And I'm like, this is the cutest thing ever. Also, why is it 20 degrees in my house right now? Like, why am I absolutely freezing? And so like, it's that whole thing of like, get off. What the hell's going on? It's super dry. My lips are chapped. I'm like, everything's like super frigid and cold. And my back door is just billowing in the wind. I got stink bugs coming inside all night long. So yeah, I have a lot of cleaning up to do beyond that. But so
the next thing is to teach the cat to shut up the door.
Right. Some basic housekeeping would be good. Guys, the problem is, you know, you can teach your cat a lot of things, but you don't have to teach your cat to be an atheist. Isn't that great? Because it's almost as if he was an atheist by default. And in very similar ways, humanity has the same, I would say, privilege or opportunity to be born without religious dogma. And that's something that we shouldn't overlook. Think about how amazing it is right now that every human being that's born doesn't have to recite scripture out of the womb or deal with the idea of, well, I'm the chosen people and those aren't the chosen people, or know exactly which God they have to worship. In fact, they don't have to worship any God. That's something that's ingrained in them. It's taught to them. It's indoctrinated to them while they're innocent and young. Yeah. And I want to talk about that in a show-like format where we discuss, is it actually true that all babies are born atheists? I have a beginning topic presented to us from Reddit. This is an ongoing conversation right now, if you want to check it out. The title of the page is All Babies Are Born Atheists. It's written by Birdie Dreamer, and he says, or she says, every human born has been an atheist because we all have been born lacking belief in a God. No baby nor toddler can understand the concept of a God, let alone believe in it. It isn't something we know or understand instinctually. We must be indoctrinated to believe. And even then, many of us still don't believe. Atheism exists in a time of innocence, and it's that innocence and purity that adults so often admire in toddlers and infants as they coexist with their atheism. Atheism is innate and easy for children to understand. In fact, it requires no education at all. Atheism is simplicity with which religions can't compete. Atheists require no study, no rituals, no belief in the supernatural. We have only one condition for membership: a lack of belief in gods or gods. It's so simple and natural that all children are born atheists. I want a roundtable thought on what you guys think about that. Dredd, what do you think?
Well, I'd have to push back against that just a wee bit, because atheism isn't just a disbelief in all gods. It's a lack of evidence to support or justify a belief in a god. And I'd further say that one can be atheistic to the Christian God and not to the flying spaghetti monster. I mean, it's just the way you look at it. So we're all atheists. We're all born atheists. I agree with that. But we all continue to be atheists insofar as we don't believe in all gods. We only believe in the gods that we deem to have enough evidence to justify the belief.
Okay. I'm going to have to marinate on that a little bit. So you're saying, yes, you are born an atheist. You are born an atheist. But even when you could be presented with a God claim that's so mundane that you can believe it, but you would be atheistic to other gods at the same time, too?
Yeah. So I'm atheistic to the Sikh religion because I don't have evidence to support a belief in those gods. But I could be a Christian and believe in my God. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Because
Believe I have evidence that supports or justifies my belief in whatever God I happen to believe in, while being atheistic to all other gods because there is no evidence for them.
So what you're saying is we're all atheists.
It's no exceptions. Precisely what I'm saying. Yes. Mm.
Yeah. We all, to some degree. Yeah, we're all, to at least the majority of gods that are out there, except atheists are just one more god than most people.
Correct. Yeah. Atheists who claim themselves to be atheists have just taken that one additional step to say they don't believe or have evidence for any gods.
Right. It's not as foreign as a concept is basically what you're saying. Like the term atheist, not only are all babies it, but most people are. And there's very few true pantheists out there that like believe in every single God that's out there.
In fact, I'd say there are no pantheists.
No. Welcome to next week's show. Anyway, Natter five, what do you think about the idea of all babies? That was a really great and thoughtful take on that, Dredd. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Doubt or five.
What do you think about that? Since atheism means that you are without a belief in God or without God, as far as beliefs go, then I would say it's true. You know, we're all born atheists. We have to be indoctrinated into a God belief before, we believe, before we're a theist, as it were. And it's easy to prove because if, you know, there are people out there who say, no, we're born believing in God. Then why did you have to tell your children about God and teach them about their religion? You know,
right. I have a friend who I play tennis with, and he always brings up religion every single time because he knows I'm an atheist. So he has to like bring it up every single conversation, and his conversations always lead to, and I can't wait to start a family. He wants 13 kids. He's one of those guys. Mm-hmm. He can't wait to start a family because he wants to teach all of them about God. And I keep asking him, I keep poking at that idea, but like, one, why do you have to teach your kids God if God's real? You already believe that we're not born atheists. He told me that to my face. So like, why do you have to go out of your way to teach your kids about God? Shouldn't that be evidentiary? Like, shouldn't that be instilled in them? Don't they already have the word of God in them? Mm-hmm. Right. So like, what's this whole teaching thing? What's this whole Bible school? What's this whole church thing?
Right.
Like, what's going on there? There's a lot of disconnections. What else can you say?
In fact, it's not only teaching them about their God, it's teaching them about the concept of faith. And if you, consider the Hebrews 11:1, where it says faith is the belief in things hoped for and evidence of things unseen.
Yeah.
That really is something you have to teach people in order for them to believe in a God in the first place. So it's actually taking away any impetus towards rational thought and reason and evidence and experiment, taking all that away. And just say, hey, we've got this whole new concept for you. It's faith.
Right.
And just take my word for it.
Right. And John, it sounded like you're already wiping your head. He's just like, I can't wait to talk. Go on ahead, John. Well, you can take any topic you want.
We've just commissioned some pull-up banners, you know, the things you have at events. And one of the slogans that we're putting on there is atheism is our birthright.
Right.
Because
I like it.
I can't disagree with anything that's been said so far, except perhaps Dredd. You know, I do believe that spaghetti exists, but as to whether it's a godly monster, I have my doubts. But the thing is that I've got a couple of quotes here that I might throw in. Do you want them now or do you want them dispersed later throughout the show?
Let's get the first one out. I love it. Let's get some quotes.
Okay,
give me in your best Englishy accent possible, because that's what we all sign up for. It's the reason why you're on the show.
I've been accused of sounding a bit mid-Atlantic, you know, because
really,
yeah, no, depends who you speak to, but I don't speak.
Oh, I totally hear it. Yes. Yeah. So for people who don't know, Mid-Atlantic Frasier, if you ever seen that show Frasier, that's kind of close to
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
it's only the tone of the voice. It's not the accent. It's like you have this, the voice that comes out of here. It's just a little bit drawn out, but it's not the accent that's on top of it. It's two different things. Mid-Atlantic people just talk.
Well, I have that voice every morning.
Yeah, before I have my first coffee.
That's right.
Morning phlegm.
Continue. Well, continue.
I don't sound like the royals or the nobles, so I'm not quite as posh as some people in my part of the world. Hmm. So here's the first quote then. It's Ricky Gervais. He said, basically, you deny one less God than I do. I don't believe in 2,999 gods. You don't believe in 2,999 gods. And I don't believe in just one more.
Right. Mm-hmm. Correct. That's it. Yep. You know, yeah.
That's the point Dredd was making earlier, I believe.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
And the great thing is, it takes a comedian to really make the best concise quotes for this particular era. I think Ricky Gervais is like a bastion of really great, concise, well-made points on a lot of different things, including his point on science. And this is just a little bit of a tangent, but he says, like, if you take all the holy books and you deleted them from history and you wait 1,000 years on the same trend that we're on right now, you're going to end up with 1,000 other new holy books that all say very rapidly different things, completely divergent from each other. Mm-hmm. However, if you take all the science literature, every single science proof and document and piece of evidence, and destroy it and remove it from human culture, in another 1,000 years, you're going to have the exact same science. The units might be made differently. The symbols might look different, but all the relationships are identical, to the point where we'd be able to translate immediately all the new discoveries that were made. That is a very telling thing.
Yep. E will still equal MC squared.
Right. And I did not phrase that properly as Ricky Gervais did, but it's a very meaningful, concise point to be made that one group is randomly pulling things together and one's looking at an objective thing and getting closer to it, which is the truth. It's very interesting.
I greatly admire comedians because they have to be such good communicators. They only have a few minutes to get through to our brains and press our tickle buttons. So they have to be very concise.
Yes. Yeah. Tickle buttons. All right. You can tell you're a dad. You can tell he's like recently. I'm here. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, but I don't have 13 kids like your tennis playing friend.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope he doesn't get them either. What else can I say? Anyway.
He should have 2 or 3 and then decide whether he wants to continue.
Yeah. Don't get them all at once. Yeah. The weird thing is, while we can also learn religion, I think we learn a lot of other things besides that. We learn our language. We learn our culture. We learn rules of reality. Like, hey, if I knock this off the table, will it fall? Oh, yes, it does. If I fall off this chair, will it hurt? Yes, I understand pain. I understand hunger, thirst, all that stuff. Rules of reality, like homeostasis, taking care of yourself, how to treat other people.
Cause and effect.
But also nefarious things like hate. You can learn hate from your parents. You can learn hate from your culture. You can pick up a lot of bad impressions, prejudices, misogyny, bigotry. A lot of those things, like religion, are taught to kids. What do you think about that, John?
Well, you've hit another nail on the head there, because, of course, what religions do is they divide us. They divide us into us and them. And then you demonize the them, and you're on the way to war and victimization and the final solution. And it's all needless, because there's no evidence for any God apart from spaghetti.
Thank you. And we accept everyone. We're the only religion with the God back guarantee. If you don't like pastafarianism after 30 days, go back to your old God. He'll likely take you back.
Start eating it. Rice instead.
Oh, man, I love there it. You go. So I want to throw up a quote quickly from a fancy walrus, who says religion is like racism. It's taught, not natural. I'm white, and I had a friend from school from 5 to 9 at that age who was black. And you know what? I didn't know it until I was 24. I just sat there one day and thought, hey, my old friend Jacob was black. Why have I never thought about that? But as a kid, I just made friends with him because he was cool. We pretended to be Yoshis together. Yoshi's a character in Mario that comes in a lot of different colors. And he was the black Yoshi and I was the white Yoshi, and skin color meant nothing to us. As years went by, I would think about him from time to time. Not that much as if it was so long ago, but it wasn't until it recently hit me that he was black. Because later in life, some people of all colors have been around, have made race such a issue that it's always the first thing I notice, no matter what or how little I want to. What you're taught in youth really does affect you, but nothing is there when you begin with. And so I think it's a true point, because when I was a kid, I never really considered like my skin color being an issue, because I was being raised in California. I knew Mexicans. I was getting better at being Spanish speaking person than I was, you know, being what a black person was supposed to be. Like I all these societal molds I was never experienced or exposed to. And it wasn't until I moved to Georgia that I realized, oh, there's like boxes that you're supposed to be in if you look a certain way, or if you act a certain way, or if you talk a certain way, and you don't fit in any of them because you're an outsider. And I realized, well, I'm still in high school and I'm very, very emotionally driven to fall into like a social structure. And I spent like a time trying to fit into boxes that I couldn't fit into. It was very distressing. And through that whole process, it even informed my early adulthood, when I realized, man, this is like something that I'm always thinking about. And like, there's a danger aspect too, that now that I'm aware of, I don't want to not recognize anymore. Like, I don't want to consider like my race as something I don't have to think about, because it's vitally important for me to be aware of that in certain circles in the states that I'm in. So it's just this constant dragging down that I never had to consider when I was a child. And I'm wondering, why is that the case? Is it because of me? No, it's because of the society that I'm in, and I have to learn from it. And I learned some bad things from it, and I learned some important bad things from it, but it's still bad things overall. And I wonder why we as a culture still hold on to these really bad tenets and paradigms. We should get rid of them and stop teaching our kids that, because you can live without it very effectively, like these things like religion and racism and hate. You can teach your kid hate. That's all my bottom line is.
Dread many do.
Yeah.
All you need is love.
Surprisingly a good band at this time. Yeah. Doubter 5, what do you think?
I don't know. It's an artificial division that we impose on each other when it's not necessary at all, of course.
Right.
Kids prove that every day. You know, you don't have a black dog and a white dog that are at each other's throat because of their color. We come in a variety of colors. Hey, that's it. Deal with it.
Yeah. It's kind of a good thing, too.
Yeah.
John.
To get back to the theme of atheism and whether we're born it, you've only got to look around the world. I mean, once you come out of your parochial culture and look around the world, you realize that if you're born into a religion, you've got to accept that other people elsewhere are born into a different religion, and one of you must be wrong.
Right. And along that same lines, you can be born with different kinds of cultures that say women should wear hijabs, and other cultures that say, actually, it's not a big deal if they do or they don't. They can decide on their own if they want to. But for one's culture, it's absolutely imperative that they do. And for other ones, excuse my phone. The other culture, it's like, it's completely a non-issue. Like these society, all religion is just a cast of societal rules that people are meant to follow, right? But that is entirely arbitrary, given the fact that we can live in this geopolitical culture that has many different kinds of cultures, and we can see that it's not uniform throughout. If that's the case, why don't we just have the best system? Why do we have all these other systems as well?
And you had it in California when you were growing up. And you'll find wherever you look in the world, it's the least religious places that are the most benevolent. Right.
Yeah. True that.
Hey, well, I think we made it to the bottom of the half of the hour.
I think we need to take our break. Stay tuned for the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LP FM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
First time I have read the Bible, it had struck me as unwitty. I think it may start a rumor that the Lord ain't got no humor. Put me inside SSC. Let this super string theory. Oy, 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 oy. Accelerate the protons. I steer it twice and then just at me. Cause I don't read the Bible. Melting, milking on my mind. Give me everything theory without Nazi uniformity. My brothers are protons. My sisters are neurons. I steer it twice. It's instant family. I don't read the Bible. I don't trust disciples. Even if they made of marble.
Second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville for just a second. ASK was founded in 2002, in our 20th year now, and have over 1,000 members. We do have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Taproom and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables, or if it's pretty weather outside on the deck. We also get together for Tuesday evening Zoom meetings. If you'd like to join us via Zoom, no matter where you live, email us for details at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com. You'll find us on Facebook, meetup.com, or knoxvilleatheist.org, which is their website. You can also just Google Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you could still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one.
Start one.
That's right. One about where you want to pick up.
Yo, everybody was born an atheist, and so were you too. And isn't it a birthright? Isn't it an amazing thing that we can all appreciate? And when it all comes said and done, aren't we all basically atheists, at least to the majority of the gods that have been claimed to exist? There's not everyone who believes in all of them all at once. Doesn't that seem like it's commonsensical? Can't that seem like that's something we can all agree on? No, of course not, because this is an internet show where we accept internet feedback, which means we're going to go into some contrary opinions. First contrary point, I'm going to throw it up to John Richards. You have the first say at this. First contrary point comes from Slimy Slug Zero on Reddit, who says, "Well, I'd say all humans are born agnostics, not atheists. Babies don't know what God is. Being an atheist means to not believe in any sort of God. How can a baby do that if babies don't even understand the concept of God yet?" No, we got John first, and then we'll go straight to Larry. John, what do you think?
Not
Larry,
you get the next one. not the old atheism versus agnosticism conflict. These are two contentious words. It depends who you are, how you define them. And being, you know, an active atheist, I define atheism as a lack of belief in what other people claim they have as their foundation for their religion. I don't claim that I can eliminate the possibility of there being a God, because, of course, the universe isn't a cookie jar, using your American words. You can't turn it upside down and empty it and say, look, there's no God in here. So it's not possible to eliminate the possibility that there is a God. And that's what I mean by atheism. But agnosticism is overlapping. You can be both, because agnosticism means you don't know.
Right.
And you're not sitting on the fence. You just don't have the data necessary to make a decision to jump either side. So there is a slight difference there, but it's not a big one.
And just a slight correction, when you say there's no metal fence, you just lack the information to know what to jump either side. The side that you're staying on is not believing. So like, you either believe it or you don't believe it, and you're staying on the not believe side until you have knowledge.
Well, he was talking about agnosticism, and you're using the word believe. Agnosticism is about knowledge.
Yes. Yeah.
Atheism is about belief. I'm an agnostic atheist.
Yes.
Since I don't know, but I also don't believe. But there are people that do believe and say they don't know. So it's just two different things. You have to worry about knowledge versus belief.
Yeah. Correct. And that shows you how much belief is actually a choice. Because even though they don't know, they've chosen to believe.
One thing at a time, one thing at a time, one thing at a time.
Yeah.
So here, let me just make some quick clarification points between John and Richard on the original question, which was agnosticism, atheist. Atheism, for fans of the show, refers to a statement of belief. If you believe in a God, you're a theist. If you don't believe in a God, you're an atheist. There's no middle ground. You either are a theist or you're not a theist. And we call non-theists atheists. That's why we're saying all babies are born atheists. Whereas agnosticism is a question of knowledge. Do you know if a God exists? Do you not know if a God exists? If you know a God exists, you're agnostic, and you should be making a better noise than you are now, because you should be on National Geographic, you should be in front of the president. But if you don't know that God exists, you're an agnostic. And you can be both agnostic and an atheist. In the same way that you can be a Gnostic theist, you can be an agnostic atheist. And the question just becomes, it doesn't matter if someone calls themselves an agnostic, it doesn't immediately mean that they're not an atheist, because you can be both. So why do people pull up that distinction? Anyway, Larry, go on ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I disagree with John on belief is not a choice. You believe things because you're convinced they're true. Now, you may be convinced for bad reasons or good reasons, but you can't just make a choice to believe in like Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy. It's not a choice. You're either convinced to believe something or not. Now, you can do it without knowledge or with knowledge, but I don't believe it's a choice.
Yeah, I concur.
Now, you can choose whether or not you want to call yourself a believer or not, but you can't just make a decision to believe something that you don't believe in.
That's another
And the converse is true as well, right? A person who has spent, you know, part of their life believing in some sort of a deity doesn't come to unbelief overnight. Doesn't wake up one day and say, I don't believe in God.
Yeah.
They can try and tell themselves that.
All my friends are atheists. I'm going to decide not to believe. No, you can't do that.
It's over a period of time that your beliefs change and you come to a point where you can say, I no longer believe, or I do believe, but
they're
transitory.
That's a particularly American view, because you have this thing called deconstructing.
I'm Canadian.
Yeah, I know.
I have so many. If you want to talk about umbrages, John, I have umbrage with that as a king. That's still North America. You're still part of us. Mexico's part of us. Brazil's still part of us. We're all on a team.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a Mac, I can still use a computer.
Guys, we can make this topic another show, and I think it'd be worthwhile a discovery to understand do we choose our beliefs, because that's a heady topic. It really is. But how about we go into another feedback session to another contrarian? This one I like to throw out to Doubter 5 to tackle first. And it's the idea of, let me see if I can read this quickly. How can we all be atheists if all religions come from different cultures? It's that argument. Anyway, here we go. Dual Dougie says, if it's true that we're born atheists, then why has every culture on Earth, even under no contact, created gods? It's certainly weird that every culture that has ever existed felt the pull to a higher power. Doubter 5 first, and then we go up to John. Oh, so you're on mute, my friend. Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
most Eastern religions are not God religions. Buddhism, Confucianism, Taoism, Jainism. They believe in maybe souls and ancestor worship, but they don't believe in gods. And even the cultures that he's talking about, the ones that feel a pull to believe in a God, don't believe in the same God. It's just very troubling that he would make that argument. Now, what I feel is a large part of it is that we all grow up with higher powers in our lives, our parents. And when the parents are gone, you still have that feel, that pull, that tug that you need a higher power looking after you that takes the place of those parents. And we still call God our Father in heaven, that type of thing. I think it's kind of transparent why all the cultures would still look for a God, when he isn't
there. It's the
there.
Easiest paradigm to stretch out to a supernatural culture, right? Yeah, John, because you have to understand how a computer works for simulation theory to make sense to you. But everyone understands how a family works because we're products of a family. So it's a supernatural family.
And the church takes advantage of that. The nuns are your sisters. The priests are your fathers. The church is your family. They usurp
the authority
all that.
With it.
They hijack it.
Guardian angels are your big brothers and big sisters.
The priest is your father. The nun
or a great movie series brought by Marvel. Sorry. Mm-hmm. John Richards, love to get your feedback.
Well, it's not quite true that every culture has created a god. Just anthropologists have studied indigenous people. And there are, in Brazil, for example, there's the Piraha, who not only have no religion, no god, but they don't have any numbers either. it's a bit of a sweeping statement to claim that every culture has invented a god.
Yeah, very true. It's very true. Particularly the ones that Christianity took over or try to sell as a comparable model to why they're inferior and we're better. Yes, but if you look at the grand scheme of things, it's a bald-faced lie to say that every single culture has. If anything, even if that's true, even if that's accurate, it's only every culture that we know of, which introduces yourself to a black swan fallacy, where it's like, there's no such things as black swans because I've never seen one. It's like, that's not a good argument to say that every case is, as you say, because we haven't looked at the whole entire sample size yet, right?
Yeah.
Everyone votes Democrat. I've never seen anyone vote Republican. It's like, okay.
mind you, I went to New Zealand where the black swans are supposed to exist, and I didn't see any there either.
Okay, Dread Pirate, what's up?
Yeah, well, I was going to say that while not all cultures may have religious beliefs, we all do have brains, and our brains are hardwired for agency detection. That is something that is innate in our cognition, our cognitive skills and abilities. A rustle in the breeze, is it something that might eat me or is it the wind? Better think it's the thing that's going to eat me and be wrong than think it's the wind and be lunch. So, it's just a part of how our brains work. So it's not a far stretch to consider that we may look at other things and believe that they have agency.
Right. And my, Dredd, that's a really good point. It feeds me into this because you're talking about matters of evolution. I also find that culture is a product of evolution as well. And so when I am born in a culture that is Christian or has evolved to be very Christian, like how we are in the West, then it's not a surprise to me that I could be born and believe that I'm a Christian over a period of time. In the same way that people who are born in more Islamic areas or evolved into more Islamic regions, they're born to be Islamic or Jainist or Confucianist, et cetera. And my point is, when I say we're all born atheists and someone brings up, well, every culture comes up with a higher power, I'm like, so what? That's the product of the culture that was already pre-existing that caused that people to continue to foster that culture. But however, we have seen in multiple instances, even looking around the world, that if you completely remove that, if you look at cultures who have no contact religion, that you can have examples like that, or you could have regions that get taken over by the more popular religion. That also happens as well. The fact that these cultures exist with these higher powers is more of a product of like the history of how these cultures have, you know, generated in the first place. And the fact that we can come up within our own mind state is evolutionary bias, because it's what we tend to do when we look at the unknown. We tend to anthropomorphize it or give it qualities that are beyond just a natural force. What do you think, John?
Well, it's a product of being social animals.
Mm.
Every type of social animal needs a leader, even if it's only the fastest wildebeest that leads the herd. And what humans do, and possibly some chimpanzees, is project that, the leader, into the sky, so that there is, you know, even when your earthly body has gone, you've still got this father figure up there that you can rely on.
I also want to throw this out too before we get to the next topic. These ideas that we have of the afterlife and the structure of heaven are always very beneficial to the believer in the ego sense. Like a holy father who loves his son. I'm a guy. That means I got a dad, which means my dad's powerful, which means I'm powerful because I'm the product of power. I like this. This is going to be the story that I move on. Oh, and you mean the supernatural being who created the universe is my family member? That's pretty awesome. Like, my dad's awesome. I have a cool dad. Everyone wants that. But you never get the one where it's like reality as we know it is just a slaughterhouse. And when you die, it's just your soul getting ready to be chopped up for a meal for some, you know, major feast down the road. Because a lamb, if you think about a lamb in a farm, they don't know anything outside of their farm in the same way like humans don't know anything outside of our planet. Or we're slowly developing, but we've never been off our planet onto another planet in the same way that a lamb visits another slaughterhouse. And when the lambs get taken away, it's sort of like when we die and it just looks like our bodies stop working. It's like, well, where do our souls go? Where does our mentality go? Where does Tyrone go after he dies? We always want to think of something really great and appeasing to us. We never consider a more darker afterlife that could be just as valid, because we don't know where we're drawing these straws from. I find it just very telling that we always pick the most attitude massaging. Yeah. It's so biased.
Nobody wants an evil teddy bear.
No one wants an evil teddy bear. We always want the best thing that works for us. And so it's just so saccharine, is all I'm saying. It's just so tellingly saccharine, so tellingly meant to appease us about the concept of death. When, in reality, if we were to just think about what death actually is and what the implications of a reality where we never die would be, it's like, it's not that bad of a concept. It really isn't. I just wish we had more time to come to terms with death in a more mature and honest way than lying to ourselves with these really clearly fleeting, no foundational rules of reality that actually make us believe terrible things. Dredd, I'm sorry for that spiel.
He was in full.
Thank you. I was just going to say, nowhere is it more glaring than in Western countries that religion is largely due to our cultural upbringing, because you don't see white people walking around wearing turbans,
right,
or identifying as Sikhs. You don't. I've never ever seen a white person, you know, wearing a turban. I've seen women, white women, wear chadors or niqabs or hijabs, I should say, the ones that are more revealing. But I've never been able to, assume whether they're Muslim or, some people, of course, adopt Islam as their religion. But, certainly I've never, ever seen, and I put it to you guys, have you ever seen a non-Indian wearing a turban or identifying as a Sikh?
I only have two examples, but yeah, I've seen that. But
really?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But you can adopt the religion is all I'm saying.
Larry, yeah. Well, no, but I'm the point was that it is culturally driven, right?
Right. Like my sister's Muslim. And so she wears hijab and she was born in St. Thomas. So like it, that is not a common jump, but like she adopted the culture and now she's, you know, over there. Daughter Five, what do you think? Oh, you said white guy. No, I have no examples for white people, but I've seen it.
Your mic's off there,
Larry, your mic's off.
Yes, one of the DJs on our station is a white person who is a Sikh and wears the turban and all that.
Yeah.
And a very nice guy. But my point is there are outliers. People who adopt religions who aren't born in the society. But that doesn't belie your basic assumption that people are born into religion and generally is controlled by the region you were born in.
Right. And that doesn't impact whether or not you're born an atheist. Like we live in these two realities where they're both compatible. Like you're born an atheist and you might be born in a culture that's religious. And guess what? You're probably going to become that religion's or that culture's religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame because your birthright is your atheism and you shouldn't rest on it, but you should understand that that's a good position to have when everyone else around you is following a dogma that may not necessarily be scientifically or reasonably based. John, what do you got before?
Well, this is an issue which has been rumbling along for hundreds of years. Mm. And it's not just whether people are born atheists or theists of whatever flavor, but also whether they are born into a political party.
Yes.
And I've got a quote here from a Gilbert and Sullivan opera that was popular in the Victorian era, in which one of the characters sings a song that goes, "I often think he's comical, fa-la-la, how nature always does contrive, fa-la-la, that every boy and every gal that's born into the world alive is either a little liberal or else a little conservative."
Nice.
They were poking fun at the political system in this country at that time.
And that is true. It's absolutely true. Because if you were to look at like a heat map of population density across the United States of America, at least, the areas where there are the most people, the most diverse people living with each other, and we're talking like millions of people living like in the same town or whatever, like or nearby the same area, those tend to be the bluest areas because it's the people that have access to most likely the highest education, really good pay, cultural mixtures,
differences,
little in the way of like, well, this guy's this guy, I'm this guy. It's like, no, personal identity is broken down. It's just people existing with each other in a very harmonious state. Whereas the ones where it's just like, well, there's a person across like this entire state, those tend to be the reddest states because they have the least access to different cultures, the least access to different new ideas. And those tend to be very conservative.
Rednecks are rural.
It's exactly the case. It is. Yes, it
exactly.
is.
Yeah. I was just going to make that point. People who live in a city meet all sorts of other different types of people, and they're more tolerant than people who stay in their own little village somewhere amongst a load of farming crops and animals.
Yeah, and are afraid to lose what they have, right?
Yes.
So we'll be conservative to make sure that isn't the case, whereas ones who are like very considerate of the plights of other people because they see them on a regular basis, and they're like, we need to come up with a system to help people, like, can't we come up with something that like improve their liberties and stuff like that? I'm not saying one. Actually, I'm saying one's better than the other, but I'm also saying it is a product both in both cases of culture. It is a product of culture. And we are impacted by that in many different ways. Dredd, I got a question for you.
All right.
This is by Anonymous. And she says, even though it's technically right to call newborns atheists, I don't really like where this is going. The absence of something because of capabilities does not mean that it's a good state or something that should be pursued. What do you think about that? Yeah, we're born atheists, but that's not necessarily a good thing because you shouldn't think of that as a good state because you lack the capability of believing in God. And it shouldn't be something that should be pursued. Atheism may not necessarily be something to be pursued. John Rich is excited, Dad. What do you got?
Yeah. That's a pretty hard statement to make. I mean, that's a broad claim. And I don't see what support she might have for making it in the first place. It's a non sequitur.
Okay. Go ahead,
John.
Steve.
John? Yeah, John. Go ahead, John. I can't hold it.
This person obviously thinks that atheism is a thing.
Yeah,
it's because it ends in ism, and she thinks it's an ideology. It isn't. Right. We don't have any doctrine. We don't wish to impose anything on anybody.
Right. 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 It's not something you pursue. It's just a state of being lacking, you know, the belief in a God. It's like when you remove that, what's left behind, this or the shape that's left behind is...
When you take off your clothes, you're naked. That's it.
Yes. Yeah, 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 yeah. And sometimes it's good to pursue being naked, but not...
There's no rituals, no taboos. We live in a wonderful, peaceful condition where we can do pretty much what we like.
And if you have standards, it is something that is worth getting rid of if you can be shown otherwise. My biggest complaint about the Bible is God shows up all the time helping people left and right, in person, as a dove, flaming bush, drops angels down left and right, always willing to cause miracles left and right. Mm-hmm. But since the time of the Bible is the world's champion at hide and seek, even to the point where the devil is willing to like go and be like, hey, you want to just come down and like harass some of your followers a little bit? Do you want to try that together? It's like, I haven't done that in years. Like, okay, fine. I'll do it. These guys, the devil and God, they know each other exists, but God doesn't like the devil, right? Even though he invites him to heaven for beddings, right? If God gave us the same level of evidence that the devil had, where it's like, just let us know you exist, that immediately cures atheism. Immediately, I would be not an atheist anymore. Maybe I wouldn't be a Christian, but I wouldn't be an atheist. I definitely would know that a God exists. Now the question just becomes whether or not I worship that being and follow its tenets. That is a completely different question, whether or not I believe, but you can be punished for lack of belief. You can be punished explicitly in the Bible for not believing in that God. So why don't you just make yourself a parent? Because then you would get rid of the atheists. And now it's a question of on the tenets of the obvious rules that you hand delivered us. Now we know whether we should follow them or not. And based on that decision-making, then you would be able to have better grounds to punish us if we don't follow that. That's all we're asking for. Just give us the same evidence the devil had. Doubter 5, what do you think?
Well, yeah. Who was it on the road to Damascus? And, you know, Jesus appeared to him. Give us the same evidence, you know, appear to us. It should be the easiest thing in the world for a deity to
do. Have a Twitter account. That's a we've already discussed. We'd be really
I've been asked off very frequently, what kind of evidence would you believe? You know, and I'm with Matt Dillahunty on this one. He says that God would know. I mean, if God is all knowing, he would know the evidence that I would need to be convinced. Right. And he's not giving it to me. Either he doesn't exist or he doesn't want me to know he exists. Yeah. So, you know.
Or why not? In a way where you can't be convinced, in which case that's not my problem anymore. That's God's problem, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God wants to convince me and he made me convincible, he would know how to do it. And he hasn't done it yet. That tells me one of three things. Either he doesn't care, he can't do it, or he made me so I can't be convinced. So like, not my problem either way in all three of those categories. Let's move forward with our lives.
A blue tick wouldn't do it.
No, and it only costs $8 a month, apparently. In fact, I think Elon Musk actually took that program away. You can get them now for free. So, like, come on, guys. What's going on? Just make a Twitter account. Dredd, do you have anything else to add on that question or the idea of atheism is not something that should be pursued?
No, not really. I mean, I agree completely with John. You know, but yeah, there's really not much to say about it. I think it's a silly question, actually.
Okay. We got 5 minutes left in the show. And we had more comments, but you know what? It's always good that we keep it easy on Larry's part because I don't want him to do extra editing. So how about we just do a roundtable? Things we'd like to plug. For me, you can check out... Oh, go ahead, Larry.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's not so much for the... I'm sorry. The extra editing is that I hate to cut anything anybody says.
There's just so much quality.
Yeah, what do I cut?
I get you. All right. So you won't cut anything because we're going to end a little early today, or we're ending exactly on time. And so I would say, if you like this topic that we're having, this open discussion, feel free to check out Atheism on r/atheism and look for the topic All Babies Are Born Atheists, where this conversation is ongoing as we speak. And for more of my content, check it out on Let's Chat on YouTube. And feel free to check in and other shows and leave a comment. We'll be happy to go over it over next week's show. In fact, I know we didn't do it in the last couple of episodes. We will do it in the next episode. So thank you so much for all your attention and time. Dredd Pirate, where can we find your stuff at?
Well, I have a YouTube channel, Mind Pirate. Of course, YouTube has given us all handles now. So all you have to do is check out YouTube @Mind Pirate. and you will find me there. I live stream this particular show at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I also, when I'm available, hop on for Global Atheist News Review at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, where I join John Richards and other guests in talking topics of religious nature.
Nice. Yeah, I just found out about this handle thing. Yeah, I want to
do it's cool.
Hashtag Let's Chat. That's all my vids. That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, great. Doubter Five. Oh, we'll wait for you. John Richards, tell me about the land of chaos.
It's settling down. We've had a prime minister now who's lasted a whole 3 weeks.
But yay, congrats.
My stuff is on Free Thought Channel on YouTube. And as Dredd said, one of the shows that we do is Global Atheist News Review, or I'm renaming it Views on the News. And we have a wonderful panel, including you, Ty, and you, Dredd, of wise and witty people who give their opinions about the things that have happened over the previous 7 days, as reported in Global Atheist News itself. And there's some really hairy stuff this week to talk about. The leaders of, I think it's Afghanistan, the Taliban have now specified that chopping off hands and other forms of torture and execution are back. They've decided that they want to enforce Sharia law once more. Don't know what you're going to say about that later on today. And if you look at the clips of what's going on in Iran at the moment, there's so many women not wearing their hijab. And there's a lovely little video of this guy who gives a fist bump to them as they're walking down the street. They accept the fist bump, then he turns his hand over and there's a sweet, and then they take the sweet, and it's all happening. So
that was the most pleasant way that story could have ended. I was expecting many, many terrible things.
Yeah, me too.
He turned over his hand and like something bad. I was like, no. Oh, candy, that's great.
Yes.
I hope they got it. I hope they got a cookie.
Yes.
Anyways. Doubter Five.
Or a biscuit.
Or a biscuit. He got it in.
Yeah. Yeah. My content can be found at digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button for a radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject. My YouTube channel handle is at Doubter Five. You can find my book, Atheism, What's It All About, on Amazon. And if you're having trouble recovering from religion, there's help for you at recoveringfromreligion.org. Check it out. I'm sure they have some way that will alleviate your problems, some of your problems anyway. And there are a lot of problems from leaving religion. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here on WOZO Radio. Say bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye-bye. Everybody.